We're going to focus mainly on the Torah portion, part of the Torah, dealing with, I really want to just focus in one section. There's so much to talk about, but let's look at Jacob wrestles with Elohim. We'll just focus on that particular part tonight. There's a lot to learn for the whole Torah. There's no doubt about it. This portion is packed full of stuff. Hopefully, in our Bible studies, we covered and learned some things dealing with the Brit Hadishah, the reading there. So we're hopefully that's going to give us more of an impact when we do our portions that are doing it like that. But let's look at Jacob wrestles with Elohim. That section there, that's verse 22. We want to look at that particular part there. But leading up to that, there's a sort of a deal making going on between Jacob is dealing with God. He's concerned. And he reminds God. He says, "You told me to go back to the land and you'd do me good." But he has this fear come over him. What's the fear from? Because he fears Esau, who he basically swindled out of his birthright and kind of took his spot. You know, he said, "Well, man, we all grown up now. Then we were young men, weren't even married." And so they were just battling brothers. But now they're married men, their own families, their own clans, and they're growing. Both of them are growing. And they're going to meet up, and Jacob's, he's afraid. He's like, "Man, he's probably going to kill me. Because I've done him some wrong stuff. I mean, he comes in, and it's my brother. And my brother's weak, he's tired, he's hungry. And I open the lid to the pot, let him smell the gravy." "Huh? What you got, man? I got it going on. It. You hungry, and I got what you want. We'll make a trade-off. You give me your birthright, and I'll give you this stew, and you'll make it." So there's this battle going on. But this is not to them, to the two of them. They're living out what God already knew. But God said in our previous portion, he said, "I know what's in you. And the younger will rule over the oldest one." So God already knew it. But they didn't know it. They didn't know it when they were this high, till they got to growing up, and all of a sudden they start seeing this conflict take place. Well, we know that in Scripture, a lot of things happen as we read through Scripture, and we see the masterful hand of God as he kind of paints the picture, because he's trying to get us somewhere. I mean, you know that everything that happened in Scripture is for God to save the world. It's not just individuals, even though those individuals at that particular time, it directly impacts them. But the overall picture is we got to have a Savior. We got to get a Savior who can come and be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We got to get there somehow. Well, we see this in masterful plan of God, how he works with people and through people to bring about the prophet that'll come from your brethren like a prophet of Moses. So we're reading all these things and go, where they all fit. You see all of this. And then we hit Revelations and, wow, kind of brings it together. And I don't have time to go in, but you'll notice that there are some names left out that's not selected in the original names. There's reasons behind all of that. Maybe at a later time we could look at that, or you could take it on for yourself. So we have this separation. So he divides his people into two companies. This is Jacob's plan, right? Now he's a schemer. He's still not fully relying on God. He's not relying on God. He's figuring it out. He says, I'll put a group over here and a group over there if he attacks. Because in his mind, it's imminent. Right? The attack is imminent. But he keeps reminding God, but you said come to the land and you do me good. But I'm gonna go ahead and spread out just in case you bail out on me, God. Now I want you, this is where the stuff's going to start to hit home for us. Because I got to bring this to the practical sense. Where does it fit us? Just in case you don't do it, God, I got to have my backup plan. Well, I'm going to tell you, as long as you got a backup plan, you have not fully committed your life to God. That might be you ought to be writing that part down right there. As long as you have a backup plan, you're not fully committed to God. Because you've still got something to fall back on. And let me tell you, when you fully surrender to the Lord, you fall in His, everything, you rely on Him 100%. If somebody says, what's your backup plan? God. What you going to do if church don't work out for you? That's what people, we don't get it in our mind that there is nothing else. It's God. So we're going to talk about that. So he gets his company separated, and now he's alone. He even separates, right? I'll die, let them survive, and then he might find one of them and take them. But now he's by himself. Now he's in the spot where God's going to check him. And the man shows up. And he wrestles with, the man shows up, and then eventually he understands that he's wrestling with God, but it's a literal thing that's happening where God's using an angel who looks just like a man, sometimes described as the angel of the Lord, to come and begin to wrestle with him. So we're going to take it from there. That's where we'll look at it. So let's take a read. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And Jacob was left alone. If you ever feel like you're alone, that could be the very thing, a good indicator. Put an asterisk right there. God, you ought to ask this question when you feel like you've been left alone. The next question you should ask is, God, are we about to wrestle? Are we about to wrestle? Think about that. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. So all night long, he's going at it. The man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, the man saw I didn't prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. So now he's handicapped. I mean, before, he's agile. He can move, he can do whatever. You know, wrestling is a lot of movement. There's this pulling and pulling and jousting for position. But all of a sudden, the hip goes out. You don't have the strength you had before. You got severe pain. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced a bone going out of joint, but let me tell you, there's no fun in that at all. At all. I remember my shoulder went out, just come out. Let me tell you, I was on the ground. I was begging somebody, I don't care who it is. Come, and then all of a sudden, boy, when it goes in, you go, wow. I didn't know my arm felt so good in my life. Because it hurts. Can you imagine the pain? All of a sudden he's in, severe pain. Now he's been going all night. All night, and day's breaking, and then the hip goes out. He's already exhausted from the wrestling all night. Now he's injured. It doesn't seem like it's getting better for Jacob. You ever thought about this story? What's the whole point in it? So he's now, his hip socket has been touched. Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. I mean, you understand, out of joint is it's not positioned right anymore. He might be kind of dragging that thing. Think about that. He's in trouble. He's wrestling with him. Verse 26. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." And all night they've been gone. "Let me go, for the day has broken." This is what the man that he's wrestling with says, "Let me go." So now, even though Jacob's exhausted and his hips out of place, he's doing what? What's the key thing here? He's still doing what? He's holding on. "Let me go. The day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Huh. Think about that. "Unless you bless me." Now, understand his mindset. Before this wrestling match, he separates the people. He's alone. He fears his brothers. It's over. Finally, the day has come where I meet my brother. Remember, he puts the whole gift package, kind of, you know, "I'm going to get it." He's got all this. It's all his plan. But the whole thing was God's trying to get him somewhere. He's trying to get him to a spot. He's fearing that he's going to die. He said, "I'll not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, this is a question that's asked by the man that he's wrestling with, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Underline Jacob. In parentheses beside it, put deceiver. That's what it means. "What is your name?" Deceiver. Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called deceiver, but Israel." What does Israel mean? Put in parentheses. Those who contend with God. Those who contend with God. Isn't that something? What you want to be known as? A deceiver? Or somebody who'll be willing to wrestle with God until he bless you? Now I'm going to show you where this wrestling is not in a negative. It's not in a negative, but in a positive. Sometimes, if you really need a miracle from God, and you want a breakthrough, but you have fear and dread and anxiety. How many of you know Jacob, he showed all the traits of a person who had anxiety. He was in an anxiety, a panic attack. He didn't know what he was doing. He was separating these people. "You go over there. You go over here. Let's separate the goods. If he takes this, I'll still have this." This guy's got, he's panicked. There's no calmness. But God's going to teach him something. So, your name is going to be no longer Jacob, but Israel. "For you have striven with Elohim. For you have striven with Elohim and with men and have prevailed." Who prevailed? Jacob, who is now Israel. He's Israel because he's contended with God. He prevailed. He reached the point that God had to see if he was ready. Now let's go back and see if we have another example of this. How many remember Abraham? Abraham was in a situation where God says, "Take thy son, thy only son Isaac, and go to the place that I'll show you. Sacrifice him to me." He's in a panic. What do I do here? Can you imagine the thoughts going through his mind as they're going? They're on this journey, and he looks up and sees the place. Okay, God, this is it. When he got to that spot, when he was willing to trust God with everything, God says, hold up here. Now I know. This is a similar situation. Let me go. The day is broken. He's still holding on. Then he hits him in the hip. And now he's dislocated. The final assault. I'm injured, but I'm still not going to let you go. You're going to have to drag me, limp leg and all. And sometimes in life, you're doing everything you can to serve God. But I'm going to tell you, limp leg and all, don't give up holding on with all you got. Because God's about to change your name. You see, this is important. See, it's valuable that we see these lessons in Scripture, because they encourage you. They'll let you see how important it is that we hold on with everything that's in us. Now it says, then Jacob asked him, notice this, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, now watch this, for I have seen Elohim. Peniel means face, the face to face. Face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Think about that. The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinews of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the top of the thigh. Now, there's so much to be said in this. I'm going to give you just a couple things that I want to point out. And I want you to take this and use it for your situation, whatever you're going through. I want to tell you something. You got to hold on through the night. If it's worth it to you, you won't let go. Now, let me tell you, we live in a society of people who let go for hardly nothing. Don't want to be committed to anything. They'll let go. We got parents let go of their children. Children let go of their parents. Husbands let go of their wives. Wives let go of their husbands. People will let go of God, and just for no reason, they'll let go of God. And you ever wondered about that? Yet here these fellows, God put them through the test. He said, go to the land I gave you. It's your land. I promised it to Abraham. I promised it to Isaac. So your grandfather got it. Your father's got it. Now it's your turn. Do you deserve it? See, he had to get him somewhere. He had to get him somewhere. How many of you know we read after this whole event, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and. But until this event, there is no and Jacob. Even though he was in line. You know why? He didn't deserve that position yet until God knew that he would hold on with everything he had. Go and read it. You're not going to find Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob until that event happened. Because now I know. Isn't that amazing? So when you look at this, it's pretty amazing. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. What is your name? He asked the man, Jacob, he replied, your name, no, and he gives him this answer, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Now I want to point out something to you that very important. I'm going to give this to you. I've always, this is something that you wonder about different things. You wonder as you read in Scripture why certain things come into play later on after you see an event. And sometimes it pushes you to go read these things. But I want you to look at this. He set up, in Genesis 33, 20, you can go there, Genesis 33, 20, and he set up an altar there and called it God, the God of Israel. Okay, he sets up an altar. How many see that? I don't know if you can go and quickly jot that down. Genesis 33:20. Right after Jacob, now known as what? Israel, wrestled with God, he built an altar and called it the God of Israel. So to him, it became real. All of a sudden, you remember, what's your name? Did he answer him? Remember, he asked the question, what's your name? Did he answer him? He didn't answer him. It went on. But what did Jacob say? You're the God of Israel. See, God has to become who he is to you. The moment that happens, then God can say, like he said of Jacob, Abraham, now I know. Are you willing to give your son to me? Yes, I'll do whatever you want. That's fully trusting God, that God will raise him if he has to and bring about the promise that was made. In Jacob's case, he understood what God said. Because remember, if God says, go to the place, the land, and I'm going to do you good. How many has ever been given a word from the Lord? Do you believe it? See? Jacob didn't believe it. So God put him in a wrestling match. You got to prove this point. You're going to have to get somewhere. Let me find this real quick. I think this needs to be Job 42. How many remember Job's situation? I don't know anybody can lose more in a few days than Job did, right? And then he goes through this whole scene, got his friends over, and they're all debating on what's God, who's God, what God, and all this stuff. But Job 42, it really makes this point that I think we need to see. 42 verse number 5 says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. This is Job. Who is thee? I've heard of thee. Who's thee? There. Talking about Yahweh. But watch this next statement. But now mine eyes seeth thee. I thought I knew you. But after going through what I went through, see, sometimes what we want is just to go through nothing. But you'll never see the master the way you need to till you've been through something. You got to understand, here's Job. Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. He was the man. Now, God said that about him. And then they're going back and forth, and Satan says, yeah, but you got, you protected him. You pull that down, I'll make him curse you to your face. All right. I'll let you get to him. You take his stuff, you attack his body, his wife turns on him. You can't kill him. And the Job, this is Job's statement. This is Job, he says, I heard about thee with my ear. That's where we at. I can preach until I can't preach no more. And you can hear of him with your ear. But you're not going to go anywhere until you've been through something where you wrestled with God and you wouldn't let go until he blessed you. That's you and God alone. That's the relationship. Listen, if I'm not teaching you to have your own relationship with the Father, then I'm not teaching you right at all. Your relationship is not with the church. It's not with the message. It's not with the pastor. It's with him and him alone. That's where it's at. Because everything else could fail. I'm going to tell you, everything else can fail around you. Job lost everything. And he says, I heard of thee with my ears, but now I have seen thee. He got a different revelation of the Most High. How many want one of them? Let me tell you, we've been through some stuff. I remember wrestling with God over this whole Katrina time, all this stuff. I'm like, God, this doesn't make sense to me. This is terrible. I'm tired. And then all of a sudden, God says, now I know I can reveal these things to you. And here we are on our journey. And then you get on that journey, and you go on, and then you start wrestling again. Let me tell you, once you're wrestling, hold on, don't let go. You might come out with a limp, but this one thing's for certain. The revelation that you receive after it's all done, you're going to look back and say, it was worth it all. It's worth it all. So I want to encourage you through this. You got to hold on with everything you got. That just done something. That Job, that right there did something for me when I looked at that. It's so powerful. Psalms 34 verse 8 says, I have tasted and I know that Yahweh is good. Think about that. We're not talking about you getting excited off of somebody else's experience. See, I can come give you my testimony. I give you a testimony and you get chill bumps because you heard my testimony. But it's superficial to you. You want it to hit deep inside your own heart? It's your experience. It's your encounter. Nobody can take it from you. You experienced that for yourself. That's what's incredible. Listen what the psalmist says. Very important. I have tasted and I know that Yahweh is good. I have tasted. I have tasted. See, we take that and say, well, he tasted. It must have been pretty good. Well, sometimes. You ever heard the statement, you get a little taste of your own medicine? Generally, that doesn't reflect upon somebody who's done something nice. Right? So if this person's just a fighter, he wants to fight everything. Everything that walks out on two legs, he wants to fight. And then one day, I watched this video. They had this guy who's training. You know, he's a boxer. He's training. Man, he got good, you know. He was a self-proclaimed champion. And he won a bunch of fights. But they were small fights, you know. Nothing, never big time. Well, he'd have people come over to the gym. And he'd trick them into putting gloves on. And he was fast. I mean, he was real fast. But he'd get guys, you know, that were out of shape, put gloves on them, and he'd just peel them. Ba-ta-ba-ba. And the guy's, whoa, what are you doing? I thought we was practicing. You want more? You want more? He did that several times, and all of a sudden, he done put the gloves on the wrong guy. Not a fight, regular fight, but just in the gym. But this guy was a champion. He come in there, he was used to be a champ. Now he's not too good in shape, but he still had it. So, yeah, he put the glove on. You could just tell by his moves, you know. And I was like, oh, boy, this guy, he got a taste of his own medicine. When that guy got finished with it, he was running. They showed in the video. This is real now. He's running down the hall. I ain't going back in there. He wanted to let him know, you remember all them people you put in there and you did that too? Here you go. Well, listen, tasting something is your own experience. You're experiencing something for yourself. This guy got a little taste of what was real. How many of you know, when you get taste of what's real, you're going to say, Yahweh is good. That's what you're going to say. You're going to say, Yahweh is good, but sometimes tasting what's real means you got to wrestle all night. You got to wrestle. Sometimes you wrestle a week. Man, this stuff been on my for a week. It just won't go away. Hold on. A month, a year. Hold on to it. Because what God wants to get to you, he wants to know that he can trust you with it, because you won't quit. You'll hang in there. And this is what we see. So, a couple more things and we're going to close. Let's see. There was one more verse that I wanted to point out to you. In Genesis 48, verse 15. Genesis 48. I'll read 35:3 again. We are now going to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has been with me wherever I have gone. He has been with me wherever I have gone. Now, this is about you and I seeing the personal relationship, given the recognition that God was with us. I mean, we want to give God the recognition. Throughout our life, we want to do that. It's what it does, it brings a sense of closeness to the one who has walked with us faithfully. I mean, you know, God has been faithful to us. Now watch this. Then he blessed Joseph and said, in Genesis 48:15, "May the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac," who's the speaker? Jacob. It's a giveaway, right? It's a giveaway. My grandfather Abraham, my father Isaac walked. The God who has been my shepherd all my life. To this very day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. Let me tell you, that right there will get you excited. So he's blessing Joseph, right? But Joseph is it's a blessing to Joseph, but it's done indirectly through a direct blessing of the boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. And that statement that came from Jacob shows you that his life changed that lonely night that he hung on with everything he had. Now, you might not be able to figure out why something's been happening to you. I'm telling you, you might spend the rest of your life trying to figure out why. But what you got to do is settle on the fact that it don't matter why. I'm going to hold it on until he blesses me. And you got to have those words with God. Say, "Lord, that's okay. I'm going to hold on with everything I got until you bless me." So I hope that this, in some way, has just encouraged you. This part, that part just in the Torah just jumped off the page. I was like, you know what? That's an important passage right there. I'm going to look a little bit deeper into it. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I hope that it has helped you. And of course, after you read this, you go on further. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That night, Yahweh became the God of Jacob. Just so that's what happens. How many know that sometimes God wants to know if he's your God? And you have to ask yourself, is he? You'll quickly find out. If something comes against you, what's the first thing you go to? If it's fear and anxiety, then somehow God has missed the part right there. He wants to fill that. He don't want you to succumb to fear. Not at all. He doesn't want that to happen. Let me see something. I'm missing something here because I came across it. Let me see where I put it. Because this is I don't want to miss this one. This one important part. Let me see if I could go to it real quick. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. I almost just closed without giving that one. This is important. I came across it now. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. Hebrews 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Elohim must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." diligently seek him. And that's what was going on in the life of Jacob that night. He'd come to a spot where what he was doing, he was planning his life, he's planning his escape route, his escape for his stuff, and he's alone now. And can you imagine the attack of the enemy and how much fear and anxiety? And then all of a sudden the man shows up. And is this it? Is this where it all ends? Am I going to die tonight? But he quickly realized that his wrestling was with the Most High. It wasn't with Esau. And I can tell you, most people, that we have a tendency to say, well, you know, if it wouldn't be for the Esau's in my life, I'd probably be in better shape. Let me just tell you. Let me help you out. It's not the Esau's that's your problem. The problem is your relationship with God needs to be congealed, needs to come together. It's got to be closer. It's not the Esau's that's robbing you. It's your relationship with God. When he becomes all that to you, it's going to be powerful. So I want God to say it to me, now I know. That's what I want him to say. And so hopefully this has helped you. Hopefully these little things has given you some insight. Job went through it. Abraham went through it. These guys, and David, they understand something happened. So for the first time, he understood the one who spoke the promise wasn't just giving him words. If you ever receive the word from the Lord, and not just words, you wrestle with that thing. Don't quit. I wrestled with that prophecy over and over. I committed it to memory. What was I doing? Wrestling with it. I spent a lot of nights without sleep wrestling with that. I'm talking about up all night long till the break of dawn. God, what does this mean? Because either I'm hard-headed or I can't figure it out, but I'm not seeing it. Wrestle with it. Wrestle with it. Keep going. And then all of a sudden, breakthrough. How many ready for your breakthrough? Some of you have been wrestling with all sorts of things, different things. It could be relationships. It could be health. It could be finances. There's a number of things. Go down your list. You wrestle with those things. I can tell you, if God's given you a word, you better hold on to that word. Jacob knew the word God gave him. You told me to come. You said you'd do me good. But I feel like I'm about to get mowed down by Esau. I ain't feeling good. You told me you would do me good, but I ain't feeling good. Then he has this encounter, then he relaxed. How do we know he relaxed? He built an altar. What's your name? Tell me your name. God didn't tell him anything. If you wrestle with God all night long and by now you don't know who he is, you're never going to figure it out. Then he realized, I have seen him face to face. I know who he is. After that, Abraham, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. It's powerful. Well, I don't know if anyone has any comments on the tour. Any questions? All right. Good night.